So in this episode of the Leadersmith Podcast, I'm going to talk about 10 questions that will help you know if you have a really great business model. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about 10 questions that will help you diagnose if you have a really great business model. This comes from an Inc. magazine article that came out just a few weeks ago. It was these 9 questions will tell you if you have a great business model. But it's my show, so I want to add an extra question because I think it'll be really useful right now. Okay, so let's talk about them. So the first one is this. Is the market large? Now, we talk about having a niche business, but if you have a large market, you have a lot of room to be able to grow and to expand. If it's too niche, you might be in trouble. So they define it as anything less than $100 million is not large enough. But again, it depends on who you're talking to or where you are. You just want to know that your market is large enough to sustain what you're trying to do. Number two, is it growing? So it's not just that you have a large enough business to be able to sustain you, but is it able to grow? So if you're in a market that is shrinking, think the Yellow Pages, think the video rental company. That might not be the best place to be right now. Okay, so that's the second diagnostic question. The third one is, what is your market share? Now, you don't want to have too much market share because you have nowhere to go but down. So it's ideal if you have something like 20 to 40% market share because you have a lot of room for growth. Again, if you have too much of the market, you might not have any room to grow, and that would be a bad place. So that's number three. Number four. Is the basis for competition clear? So traditionally you have things like cost or innovation or customer intimacy, and they are called different things at different times. But you know, if people are coming to you by cost, think Walmart, that's a different customer that's going to go to Walmart and Aldi's than one that's going to go to another organization for intimacy or, you know, handholding and, you know, being cared for, or another one that's really geeking out and all about innovation and a new latest greatest thing. So what's the basis for how you're attracting your customer? And they said this, and I thought this was really good. The key is to pick one that is validated by your customers in the form of orders. Okay, so if they're buying from you, why are they buying from you? That's what we mean. And so if they're buying from you because you're low price, you can't run into innovation, and vice versa. If they're buying from you for innovation, don't try to sell them on low price. Okay, number five, what is the nature and percentage of your recurring revenue? Okay, so here we're going to get into the weeds a little bit. The more recurring revenue you have, the better you are. Okay, so if you have, think about satellite TV and cable TV. Now, I would hate to be in the cable TV business right now, but remember how cable TV used to be like, 2 years, we won't raise your rates and we'll have a contract. And we don't like contracts where we're locked in, but they love those contracts. Now, I wouldn't want to touch that business right now. I would hate to be in that business right now, but I love the idea of having a contract. Now, a step down from having the contract is having a system where you're continually upgrading. Okay, so your software gets a newer face on it and newer tools and uses, and then you have to keep going and buying new ones. That's even better. Or let's think about it like this. There was a landscaper outside in the yard next door to me just a little bit ago, and I was thinking about what we're going to be talking about, and I thought, okay, so a landscaper, if he has a contract with the neighborhood, like they do in my neighborhood, they have a contract for the common areas, that's where you really want to be. Now, another place is where you have contracts for specific homes. And even if you don't have an ongoing contract, the grass is still going to grow. So that is sequential revenue because you'll probably keep going back because you want to get it done. What you really don't want to be in is like the odd jobs, the one-offs. Because if you're in odd job land and you don't have any recurring revenue, you have to keep coming back to get new business every time. And that can be really draining. So what is the nature and percentage of your recurring revenue? If the recurring revenue is high, you're in good shape. Okay, number six, what is your annual customer retention percentage? So I just talked about this or touched on this a little bit, but if you want to keep your customers, so if you can retain 100% customers, great. It's going to be hard for that landscaper with the one-offs, but it'll be really easy for the landscaper who has a contract and will keep coming back as long as the grass grows. Number seven, what is your gross margin? Generally, you want your gross margin to be something in the 80 to 90%. Now, gross margin is defined as your net income after accounting for cost of goods sold, but before you take out your overhead expenses. That's gross margin. Now, that's not important as what your ultimate profit rate, but if it's high, that's good. If it's low, that's bad, because your profit rate, that's the next question, what is your profit rate, is what drops to the bottom line. Now, if you watch the news or you watch the Hallmark TV, you know, you think greedy businessmen, ha ha ha, they're about is profit and they're mean and they probably get 100% profit rate on every. No, they don't. I mean, look, if you're getting 25% profits, you're doing pretty good. Walmart's in the single digits. Right now, Walmart is okay to do it in the single digits because they have velocity. That means people are coming to Walmart all day long. And so their single digits add up after a while. But you want your profit to be reasonable, healthy. And the article said this, magical things happen to the value of your business when you combine high profits with a high percentage of recurring revenue and a high growth rate. That's really one where you want to be. And that's in the center of all that. Okay, number nine, how capital intensive is your business? Okay, so if you have to have lots of tools and machinery and other things along those lines, equipment, inventory, that's going to be harder than an organization that doesn't have to do that. And he compares organizations on the other end that are less inventory driven, and he explains, you know, which one's in better position. So he gives an example of a staffing company, a consulting business, and a managed services business. And so the staffing company is in the least valuable kind of position because they don't have a lot of recurring revenue. I mean, they staff them and then they go off and they probably get hired by an organization. And if they didn't get hired, they're probably kind of not that great of a worker. And so that's why they didn't get hired. The consulting business is in better shape. It's more profitable. It's not capital intensive. And it still has the problem with the lack of long-term recurring revenue, but it probably lasts longer per job. But the managed services company will benefit because it has long-term contracts. It has a steady stream of revenue, and it doesn't have a lot of high inventory to weigh it down. Okay, so those are the nine. Let me give you 10. Are you pandemic proof? What I mean by that is, are you still going to survive in a system where you're not dependent on large numbers in order to make profit? So like a theater or something like that, where you have to have a full house. If you have to have 80% full in order to, you know, get some decent revenue or return, that's going to be a problem in the pandemic. If you're in a place where you have to socially distance, but you're organization or whatever it is that you do doesn't allow you to socially distance, that's going to be a problem. Restaurants have problems, and so do personal services where you have close personal contact. So if you're not in those categories and you can still Zoom in and do whatever it is that you're going to do, you should be fine. That's the one that I want to add on to what we've just talked about in the article. I'll link this article below. You can read the article on your own and refer to it, but I want you to think through your model. Is your model healthy? Is it sustainable? If it is, you're in good shape. Okay, so that brings me to the quotation for contemplation for today. It's by William Pollard, and he said this, "Learning and innovation go hand in hand. The arrogance of success is to think that what you did yesterday will be sufficient for tomorrow." Okay, that's all that I have. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I hope that helps you become a better business person and a better leader. Thank you.